Good morning, everyone. My name is Brandon. I'm one of the pastors here at Legacy. It's great to be worshiping with you on this Sunday morning. We have two scriptures today. Our first is a part of Joseph's dream from Matthew chapter 1, after the angel tells him that he should accept Mary as his wife. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She'll give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. He did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born. And Joseph named him Jesus. Our second scripture is Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He'll wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more sorrow or death or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever." We live between these two events, or these two advents. The first advent, God coming in Jesus. And the second advent, God dwelling with us forever in a restored, united heaven and earth. How should we live now in the in-between? How should we care for each other? To help us understand that and to share an example, a story with me today is Don, Anna, and Adam. Welcome. Our story today is The Christmas Miracle of Jonathan Toomey by Susan Wojcikowski. The village children called him Mr. Gloomy, but in fact his name was Toomey, Mr. Jonathan Toomey. And though it's not kind to call people names, this one fit quite well. For Jonathan Toomey seldom smiled and never laughed. He went about mumbling and grumbling, muttering and sputtering, grumping and griping. He complained that the church bells rang too often, that the birds sang too shrilly, and the children played too loudly. Mr. Toomey was a woodcarver. Some said he was the best woodcarver in the whole valley. He spent his days sitting at a workbench, carving beautiful shapes from blocks of pine and hickory and chestnut wood. After supper, he sat in a straight-backed chair near the fireplace, smoking his pipe and staring into the flames. Jonathan Toomey wasn't an old man, but if you saw him, you might think he was. The way he walked bent forward with his head down. You wouldn't notice his eyes, the clear blue of an August sky. And you wouldn't see the dimple on his chin, since his face was mostly hidden under a shaggy, untrimmed beard, speckled with sawdust and wood shavings and, depending upon what he ate that day, with crumbs of bread and a bit of potato or dried gravy. The village people didn't know it, but there was a reason for his gloom, a reason for his grumbling, a reason why he walked hunched over, as if carrying a great weight on his shoulders. Some years earlier, when Jonathan Toomey was young and full of life and full of love, his wife and baby had become sick. And because those were the days before hospitals and medicines and skilled doctors, his wife and baby died, 3 days apart from each other. So Jonathan Toomey packed his belongings into a wagon and traveled till his tears stopped. He settled into a tiny house at the edge of a village to do his woodcarving. One day, in early December, there was a knock at Jonathan's door. Mumbling and grumbling, he went to answer it. There stood a woman and a young boy.
"I'm the Widow McDowell. I'm new in your village. This is my son Thomas."
"I'm 7 and I know how to whistle."
"Whistling is pish-posh."
"I need something carved."
She told Jonathan about a very special set of Christmas figures her grandfather had carved for her when she was a girl.
"After I moved here, I discovered that they were lost. I had hoped that by some miracle I would find them again, but it hasn't happened."
"There are no such things as miracles. Now, could you describe these figures to me?"
"There were sheep."
"Two of them with curly wool."
"Yes, two. And a cow, and an angel, Mary, Joseph, the baby Jesus, and the wise men."
"Three of them."
"Will you take the job?"
"I will."
"I'm grateful. How soon can you have them ready?"
"They will be ready when they are ready."
"But I must have them by Christmas. They mean very much to me. I can't remember a Christmas without them.
Christmas is pish-posh.
Jonathan shut the door. The following week, there was a knock at the woodcarver's door. Muttering and sputtering, he went to answer it. There stood the Widow McDowell and Thomas.
Excuse me, but Thomas has been begging to come watch you work. He says he wants to be a woodcarver when he grows up, and he would like to watch you since you are the best in the valley.
I'll be quiet. You won't even know I'm here. Please, please.
With a grumble, the woodcarver stepped aside to let them in. He pointed to a stool near the workbench.
No talking, no giggling, no noise.
The Widow McDowell handed Mr. Toomey a warm loaf of cornbread as a token of thanks. Then she took out her knitting and sat down in a rocking chair in the far corner of the cottage.
Not there. No one sits in that chair.
So she moved to the straight back chair by the fire. Thomas sat very still. Once when he needed to sneeze, he pressed a finger under his nose to hold it back. Once when he wanted desperately to scratch his leg, he counted to 20 to keep his mind off the itch. After a very long time, Thomas cleared his throat and whispered,
Mr. Toomey, may I ask a question?
The woodcarver glared at Thomas, then shrugged his shoulders and grunted. Thomas decided it meant yes, so he went on.
Is that my sheep you're carving?
The woodcarver nodded and grunted again. After another very long time, Thomas whispered,
Mr. Toomey, excuse me, but you're carving my sheep wrong.
The Widow McDowell's knitting needles stopped clicking. Jonathan Toomey's knife stopped carving. Thomas went on.
It's a beautiful sheep, nice and curly, but my sheep looked happy.
That's pish-posh. Sheep are sheep. They cannot look happy.
Mine did. They knew that they were with the baby Jesus, so they were happy.
After that, Thomas was quiet for the rest of the afternoon. When the church bells chimed 6 o'clock, Mr. Toomey grumbled under his breath about the awful noise. The Widow McDowell said it was time to leave. Thomas sneezed 3 times, then thanked the woodcarver for allowing him to watch. That evening, after a supper of cornbread and boiled potatoes, the woodcarver sat down at his bench. He picked up his knife. He picked up the sheep. He worked until his eyelids drooped shut. A few days later, there was a knock at the woodcarver's door. Griping and grumbling, he went to answer it. There stood the widow and her son.
May I watch again? Oh, be quiet.
He settled himself on the stool very quietly, while his mother laid a basket of sweet-smelling raisin buns on the table.
The teapot is warm,
Mr. Toomey said gruffly, his head bent over his work. While Mr. Toomey carved, the Widow McDowell poured tea. She touched the woodcarver gently on the shoulder and placed a cup of tea and a bun next to him. He pretended not to notice, but soon, both the plate and the cup were empty. Thomas tried to eat the bun his mother had given him as quietly as he could, but it's almost impossible to be 7 and eat a warm, sticky raisin bun without making various smacking, licking, satisfied noises. When Thomas had finished, he tried to sit quietly. Once he almost hiccuped, but he took a deep breath and held it till his face turned red. And once, without thinking, he began to swing his legs. But a glare from the woodcarver stopped him, and he kept them so still, they fell asleep. After a very long time, Thomas whispered,
Mr. Toomey, excuse me, may I ask a question? Is that my cow you're carving?
Another nod and grunt. Another very long time went by. Then Thomas cleared his throat and said,
Mr. Toomey, excuse me, but I must tell you something. That's a beautiful cow, the most beautiful cow I've ever seen. But it's not right. My cow looked proud.
That's pish-posh. Cows are cows. They cannot look proud.
My cow did. It knew that Jesus chose to be born in its barn, so it was proud.
Thomas was quiet for the rest of the afternoon. The only sounds that could be heard were the scraping of the carving knife, the humming of the Widow McDowell, and the click-clack of her knitting needles. When the church bells chimed 6 o'clock, Mr. Toomey muttered under his breath about the noise. The Widow McDowell said it was time to leave. Thomas shook first one leg, then the other. He thanked the woodcarver for allowing him to watch. That evening, after a supper of boiled potatoes and raisin buns, the woodcarver sat down on his bench. He picked up his carving knife. He picked up the cow. He worked until his eyelids drooped shut. A few days later, there was a knock on the woodcarver's door. He smoothed out his hair as he went to answer it. At the door were the widow and her son.
May I watch again?
As Mrs. McDell warmed the tea and put a plate of fresh molasses cookies on the workbench, Thomas watched the woodcarver work on the figure of an angel. After a very long time, Thomas spoke.
Mr. Toomey, excuse me, is that my angel you're carving?
Yes, and would you do me a favor and tell me exactly what I am doing wrong?
Well, my angel looked like one of God's most important angels because it was sent to a baby Jesus.
And just how does one make an angel look important?
You'll be able to do it. You're the best woodcarver in the valley.
After another very long time, Thomas spoke.
Mr. Toomey, excuse me. May I ask a question?
Do you ever stop talking?
My mother says I don't. She says I could learn about the virtue of silence from you.
Under his beard, the woodcarver's face turned pink. The Widow McDowell's face turned as red as the scarf she was knitting.
Well, speak up. What is your question?
Will you please teach me to carve?
I'm a very busy man.
But he put down the important angel.
You will carve a bird.
A robin, I hope. I like robins.
With a piece of charcoal, the woodcarver sketched a robin on a piece of brown paper. He handed Thomas a small block of pine and a knife. He showed him how to lop the corners from the block and slowly smooth the edges of the wood into curves. Thomas copied the woodcarver's strokes, head bent, tongue working from side to side of his lower lip as he concentrated. When the church bells chimed 6 o'clock, Jonathan Toomey was holding Jonathan's hand in his, guiding the knife along the edge of a wing. He didn't hear them ringing. The Widow McDowell said it was time to leave. Thomas brushed wood shavings from his shirt. Then he reached out and brushed 2 especially large pieces of wood shavings from Jonathan Toomey's beard. He thanked the woodcarver for teaching him how to carve. Later, after a supper of boiled potatoes and molasses cookies, Jonathan Toomey went to his workbench. He thought for a long time. He sketched drawing after drawing. Finally, he picked up his carving knife. He picked up the angel. He carved until his eyelids drooped shut. A few days later, there was a knock on the woodcarver's door. Mr. Toomey jumped up to answer it. There stood the Widow McDowell with a bouquet of pine boughs and holly sprigs dotted with berries. And there stood Thomas clutching his partially carved robin. While Thomas and Mr. Toomey carved, Mrs. McDowell put the branches in a jar of water. She scrubbed Mr. Toomey's kitchen table and set the jar in the center on a pretty cloth embroidered with lilies of the valley and daisies, which she found in a drawer below the cupboard.
Next, I will carve the wise men and Joseph. Perhaps before I begin, you will tell me about all the mistakes I'm going to make.
Well, my wise men were wearing their most wonderful robes because they were going to visit Jesus. And my Joseph was leaning over baby Jesus like he was protecting him. He looked very serious.
It wasn't until the church bells had chimed that Mr. Toomey saw the jar of pine branches and the cloth embroidered with lilies of the valley and daisies.
I found the cloth in the drawer. I thought it would look pretty on the table.
Never open that drawer.
When the two had left, Jonathan folded the cloth and put it back in the drawer below the cupboard. That evening, after a supper of boiled potatoes, the woodcarver worked on Joseph and the wise men until his eyelids drooped shut. A few days later, there was a knock on the woodcarver's door. He dusted the crumbs from his beard and brushed the sawdust from his shirt. At the door were the Widow McDowell and Thomas. All afternoon, Thomas watched the woodcarver work. When it was time to leave, Jonathan said to Thomas,
I am about to begin the last 2 figures, Mary and the baby. Can you tell me how your figures looked?
They were the most special of all. Jesus was smiling and reaching up to his mother, and Mary looked like she loved him very much.
Thank you, Joseph. Or thank you, Thomas.
Tomorrow is Christmas. Is there any chance the figures will be ready?
They will be ready when they are ready.
I understand.
She handed Jonathan 2 packages.
Merry Christmas.
I want no presents.
That's exactly why we are giving them.
She put them on the table and left. Jonathan sat down at the table. Slowly, he opened the first package. Inside was a red scarf, hand-knit, warm and bright. He tied the scarf around his neck. The other parcel held a robin, crudely carved of pine. A smile twitched at the corners of Jonathan's mouth as he ran his fingers over the lopsided wings. He dusted the fireplace mantle with his sleeve and placed the robin exactly in the center so he could look at it from his chair. The woodcarver did not eat supper that day. Instead, he began to sketch the final figures, Mary and Jesus. He drew Mary, then wadded the sketch into a ball and tossed it onto the floor. He drew the baby, wadded the sketch into a ball and tossed it with the first. He sketched again. Once more, he crumpled the paper. Soon there was a small mountain of crumpled papers at his feet. He picked up a block of wood and tried to carve, but his knife would not do what he wanted it to do. He hurled the chunk of wood into the fireplace and sat, staring into the flames. When he heard the church bells announcing the midnight Christmas service, he got up. Slowly, he opened the drawer beneath the cupboard, the drawer he had told the widow never to open. From it, he took the cloth embroidered with lilies of the valley and daisies. He took out a rough woolen shawl and a lace handkerchief. He took out a tiny white baby blanket and a little pair of blue socks. He placed each piece gently on the floor. From the bottom of the drawer, he lifted out a picture frame, beautifully carved, of deep brown chestnut wood. In the frame was a charcoal sketch of a woman sitting in a rocking chair holding a baby. The baby's arms were reaching up, touching the woman's face. The woman was looking down at the baby, smiling. Jonathan sat down in his rocking chair and held the picture against his chest. He rocked slowly, his eyes closed. Two tears trailed in his beard. When he finally took the picture to his workbench and began to carve, his fingers worked quickly and surely. He carved all through the night. The next day, there was a knock on the Widow McDowell's door. When she opened it, there stood the woodcarver, his neck wrapped in a red scarf, holding a wooden box stuffed with straw.
Mr. Toomey, what a surprise. Merry Christmas.
The figures are ready.
He stepped inside. From the box, Jonathan unpacked two curly sheep, happy sheep, because they were with Jesus. He unpacked a proud cow and an angel, a very important angel with mighty wings stretching from his shoulders right down to the hem of his gown. He unpacked three wise men wearing their most wonderful robes, edged with fur and falling in rich folds. He unpacked a serious and caring Joseph. He unpacked Mary wearing a rough woolen shawl, looking down, loving her precious baby son. Jesus was smiling, reaching up to touch his mother's face. That day, Jonathan went to the Christmas service with the Widow McDowell and Thomas. And that day in the churchyard, the village children saw Jonathan throw back his head, showing his eyes as clear blue as an August sky, and laugh. No one ever called him Mr. Gloomy again. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, help us to look deeper than a person's initial interaction with us. We so often do not have the full picture of the pain and the sorrow that so many of us endure. May your Holy Spirit equip us to talk with compassion and grace and kindness and love so we can help others find the healing and wholeness that we have found in your Son. It is in Jesus' name that we pray together. Amen. Now we'll receive God's tithes, your gifts, and your offerings. We still have year-end needs, December needs in our general fund and the Legacy Honor Project, and you can help us reach our half a Christmas goal of $40,000. You can give online anytime at the website at legacyumc.org/give, or get a check, an offering to the church this week. Just a reminder, if you'd like it to count for your 2020 taxes, they do need to be received to the church office by December 31st at 3 p.m., postmarked by the 31st at 3 p.m., or given online before midnight on New Year's Eve. Do show your thanks and appreciation to Don, Anna, and Adam. Thanks so much for being here this morning, everybody. Now, let's sing our closing song together.